Hi, I'm Roisin and I'm here with Dennis, and we're part of the youth media team interviewing Stephen Reid here at ICT in Education, and we're also holding a live Periscope, so there may be some questions from our audience at the end. You're here for your keynote today. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Hi, I'm very honoured to be invited to keynote here at the ICT Edu show in Tipperary in Ireland. And my keynote was called Game Changers, and it was about games as a tool for change in classrooms. So how can we use games in schools to teach children and actually change the way that children are being taught in classrooms? So we looked at a number of different games, from Kerbal Space Programme to Age of Empires to Minecraft as well, and showed some Minecraft stuff as well. It's good.
So what started your fascination with video games?
I was a gamer. I was younger than you guys. What age are you? 13, oh, way younger. I was playing the Commodore 64. Do you know what a Commodore 64 is? I was playing a Commodore 64 back when I was 8 years old or something. And I played games like Dizzy or Manic Miner or Jet Set Willy or something like that. And I just loved gaming. And I used to hack those games. What we used to do is we used to hack them, recode them, change maybe the intro screen or some of the graphics or something, and then we would, back then it was tapes, you know, like cassette tapes, and we used to have to actually rewrite the game back onto the cassette tape, reload it and replay it and see if our changes had actually taken place. It took hours, but playing the game was one thing, recoding and hacking the game was the other, and I've always done that as a kid. And so coming into my adulthood and starting to do a job that I love, which is to teach, I then thought, well, when I was younger, games were really something that I did learn a lot from, whether it was my social skills when I was playing with other people, or whether it was interacting with different characters, whether it was the written part, because a lot of the games I played when I was younger were text-based adventure games. So I would have to type in, you know, you're in a room, where would you like to go next? And I'd be like, go north. So I had to learn my northeast, southwest, and then I would have to type in that I wanted to go north and I wanted to use this magic spell and all that kind of stuff. So there was so many things that I was learning, and I was living in these sort of like immersive worlds. And I remember getting to a certain point as an educator and thinking, why aren't we using this in classrooms? Why aren't we doing this in classrooms? So I did. I started with Tomb Raider, the original Tomb Raider on the PlayStation 1. You remember that, right? Yeah, you've got one at home. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, I remember Tomb Raider on the PlayStation 1, and I said, I'm going to take that into a school, and we're going to do some work on ancient cultures like the Greeks and the Egyptians. And it was a huge success, and I've been using games ever since.
So how did you first get into teaching?
Teaching was a funny one for me, because when I left university, I wanted to be a teacher. And I remember thinking, I did art in university, and I thought, I want to be an art teacher. Art's a funny one, because you have to be doing, like, art's the kind of thing that you have to be doing all of the time, I feel. I mean, I like art, I enjoy art, I still do art. But I wanted to transfer those skills into teaching, the kind of like, how do I work with people? How do I work with children? How do I work with adults? And so on. And that's where my real passion is. And actually, the art very quickly kind of fell to the wayside, and I started working with people in a slightly different organisation, actually. I didn't go immediately into teaching. I started working with a company called The Tree of Knowledge. And what we were doing was going into schools and helping children with things like exam success, and helping teachers to prepare children for exam success, then goal setting and motivation and that kind of stuff. And I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. But what I was always aware of was that we weren't using technology, and technology was where the children were at. Children were always 10 steps ahead of us when it came to anything we were trying to do in schools. And so I started using technology for art. I kind of went back to my original passion and thought, well, how do we use technology for art? And then how do we use technology for English and science and maths? And before you know it, I'm running my own company. We're talking many, many, many years ago now. I'm running my own company, and I'm being invited into schools to show teachers and children how to use technology to do those things.
How did you first get the idea to use Minecraft in education?
That just came naturally, actually. I'd been using lots of games since. So using Minecraft in education was an obvious one for me, because I remember seeing it. It was in its alpha. It had just been released on the internet, and a friend of mine had said, have you seen this weird block building game? Looks a bit dodgy, but might be quite good. And I said, I'll check it out. And I checked it out that afternoon, and I just instantly, as an educator of some kind of 18 years and having used games for probably 12 of those 18 years, I thought, this is it. This is the one I've been waiting on. And the reason for that is because not only, it was the first game that not only allowed children to play, but actually to build and create their own. I mean, we'd done a bit of that with Little Big Planet, but Minecraft was, that was its core, its core function, its core mechanic was, you don't just wander around this world, you pull it apart and you rebuild it however you want. So I'm instantly thinking, as an educator, we could have children build DNA strands. We could have children build landscapes, geographical landscapes, bays and headlands, for example, for geography. We could have children build this and this and this. And suddenly it started to become really obvious to me that it was a tool for teaching, not just a game.
What role does Minecraft play in education?
Pretty much every role. It's a slow turning wheel, and I'm not gonna say to you, oh, Minecraft is the most wonderful tool and it's in every classroom in the world, because it's not. Like any technology, Minecraft alone will not solve all of your teaching your teaching problems or your teaching needs. Minecraft is just one particularly powerful tool, and the role that it's playing is tenfold. For example, in the 6 years that we've been using Minecraft, we haven't missed a single subject except PE, and even then we've done all sorts of things with using coloured wool to look at strategy on the playing field and stuff like that for a variety of different sports. But largely we haven't missed a single subject. We've got whole worlds dedicated to history learning, geography learning, all of the sciences. We've got maths worlds. You name it, we've got it. And we can even do things like what we call the holistic learning stuff, like alcohol awareness or refugee crisis stuff or any of that kind of stuff. So we call it Minecraft Humanities, and we've got a lot of that stuff going on as well. The other thing that it does is, when you say what role does it play, is what we've been finding is Minecraft is a great way of engaging children who are not necessarily set to be engaged by normal education. And by that I mean perhaps it's had huge success with children with learning difficulties such as Asperger's or autism, a huge amount of success with children who are given the right controllers. And I've played Minecraft with my eyes only, left click if you wink with your left eye, right click if you right wink with your right eye. I've used the controller with my chin, just my chin, because if you imagine you've been in a car accident and you've lost all of the use of your body from the neck down, how do you play Minecraft? So there's a charity called Special Effect who help children to do that. So, and Minecraft is able to engage those children as well, and so they kind of go, I want to build, so they build with their eyes. So it actually engages, Minecraft as a tool engages almost everybody sitting in your classroom, whereas a lot of other classroom tools are quite select. Boys will like one type of tool, girls will like another. Older children will like one, younger children will like another. You know, one kid that likes maths will like one tool, one kid that hates maths will not like that tool. Whereas Minecraft tends to engage everyone.
What is Immersive Minds about?
Immersive Minds is a company designed to help teachers to use technology to reach as many children with great education as possible. So if we can open up education and help to make every lesson fun, that's our mission. Mm-hmm. And we believe that the introduction of technology as a tool, one tool in a whole toolkit for teachers, is a great way of doing it. And what we're finding is, because of the variety of technology and the cost of technology and the time it takes to learn to use those technologies, those things are actually very difficult sometimes for teachers to embrace, not because they don't want to or they can't, but because the time, the money or the accessibility makes it difficult. So we as a company spend quite a bit of our time every year researching the right technologies. Some work, some don't. We throw out the ones that don't, we bring in the ones that do. We develop lessons and we make sure that the teachers have ready-made lessons. And then we also try to help teachers to find the most cost-effective technologies. You're not going to want to spend, you know, £10,000 on one screen at the front of your classroom when you could spend £1,000 and have every child with, say, a digital camera or, you know, something like that. So, or I don't know, $20 to get Minecraft in your classroom for each pupil. So there's lots of different ways we do that. And Immersive Minds is just about bringing the best technologies to create the best lessons for teachers and pupils.
Okay. Is there any questions from the Periscope?
What I've had from Periscope are compliments about how good this is and how
awesome,
how fantastic this is for people. But let me ask people, there are, we've had 112 viewers on this.
Wow.
Now, some of them may only have stayed for a few minutes.
That's okay.
But there have been others who stayed for a long time. If there are any questions that anybody would like to ask to either the journalist team here or to Stephen or even to that man over there in the corner who has been listening, his name is Topgoat. Actually, what about doing Periscope and Facebook Live together?
Look at this. No, we're Periscoping, we're podcasting, and we're Facebook Live all at once. And look at this. Show us your technology. What is it you're using there? So you got yourself a handheld mic, and then what is this?
Audio Boom.
This is Audio Boom. And then what, does it go straight up to Audio Boom, or do you do some editing afterwards? Go straight up. So this is all, well, this is live. This is these kids are just going to put this straight up. This is modern podcasting. It's just like, never mind the editing stuff. I normally go back if I've done an interview or something and I take out the ums and the ahs. These guys are just like, never mind that. Let's get this straight up online. So this is brilliant. So Audio Boom.
I have a question here.
Yes.
I have a question here from the UK. Mm-hmm. And from a man on Twitter who's Tinian. And he says, what inspired you to go into education?
Just, you know what, that's actually that's a really good question. It's always a tricky one to answer. I think it's a calling. I think it's in us. I genuinely do. Even as a young man, I loved when I was in university or even college beyond before that. I remember loving helping other people to learn. If somebody in my class was stuck, I would be the one over their shoulder going, see if you just press that, or see if you just write this. And sometimes that would get me in trouble, because then it would, like, we were copying each other's work, or we were, but other times I think it was just always in me. I just love to know that people are able to do something that I can do, for example. So if someone then says to me, you know what, I really don't know how to do that, I immediately, it's in my nature, I jump in and say, I'll show you. So education for me, I think, is in me. And I think that's the same for a lot of educators out there. You know, education's a tough field to work in sometimes. And some people say to you, how can you work in that field? It's so tough. But actually, it's in us. And I think it always has been and always will be. I can't walk away from it. And people often say to me, I've had people in the business world say to me, you know, but there's not a lot of money in education. You could be making a lot more money in, say, the charity sector, or you could be making a lot more money in the business sector, and certainly in the business sector for business consultancy and stuff like that. And actually, it doesn't interest me, because my end goal always is the children. How much are the children learning? What are the children getting? And how much of a better tomorrow are we going to have? Because there's some, look at this. I mean, there's some amazing examples of children going into this world now with skills that I didn't have when I was a kid. And for me, that's absolutely key. So when someone says, yeah, but you could move field and you could do something different, that means walking away from that goal, that ethos in me that I don't think I could ever walk away from. I think it's been in me.
Can I ask you a supplementary?
Please.
How good were you at school?
Another great question. School was difficult for me. I'm not going to say school let me down. Maybe I let school down to some degree. I just don't think I was ready. And actually, there's all sorts of science about when boys are ready to learn and so on. So, for example, now I soak up geography and history. My library at home is increasing all the time with, I mean, I've read Anthony Beaver's Stalingrad, which is about that thick, and it's all about Stalingrad. You couldn't have got me to even pick that book up in school. And I wasn't a particularly good student, on account of the fact I just don't think I was ready, and maybe school wasn't quite how I needed it to be. Now I'm an avid learner, and this is again why I'm trying to do what I'm doing, because I know how difficult it was for me, but I know what I needed. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to bring in that way of teaching and say to other teachers, this is how you can reach more of your children, by doing these things here, you know. And that doesn't mean to say that I'm right and everyone else is wrong, not at all. We're all part of the same cycle, we're all part of the same field, but I do believe that what we need to do is just a little bit more in the way of engagement in our classrooms.
Would you guys like to ask him anything else?
No, not really.
No, I think we're okay. It was very interesting.
Grant, good.
Thank you. Thanks.
Great.